November 19, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com/MuradSpeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. So he loved them like no other loved them. Good Christians, when you are around them, they have the same nature, the same spirit, and you feel this connection, this relationship of heart to heart, the believer's heart. You feel it with them too. So when people are right in their faith, they believe, and there is a superior over them that they cannot bribe but love them, and they know he loved them like no other loved them, with divine love as God's love. So when you are with them, you forget that you are not Muslim. Pardon me. You forget that they are not Muslim. You will be talking with them and socializing with them, and you will forget that they are not Muslim. That shows you that when we are in our innocence and in our purity that God created us in, the beginning, there is no identity but one, and that is the person of faith to the person of faith. I have experienced that with Jews and Christians. I have experienced that even with some people who are not even named in the Holy Book. That spiritual bonding is the best. Not money, not sexual, it's not ego. Allah made us to be one spirit. That is what it means when we say he created the human and then he gave man of his own spirit. God gave the man of his own spirit. And when we have that spirit of our first father called Adam that God gave, we know he did not have any children before he got that spirit. In fact, he was not even Adam until he got that spirit. He was in the process of becoming a complete creature. So when we are in the form and spirit that Allah wants us, his angels are at our service. So when God breatheth the spirit into him, then he was the man that God selected. And I guess that is why God told the angels to wait until I have given him of my spirit, and then you make sujda to him. That is only to tell us that when we are in the form and spirit that Allah wants us in, his angels are at our service. The existence is to support our life that God wants for us on this earth. So one of the principal articles of faith or belief is that we believe in the angels. You cannot see what you don't have a mind to see. So your faith or your belief is not complete until you believe in the angels. It does not mean that you accept that that's a principle in Al-Islam or an article of faith in Islam. It means more than that. It means that you accept that It is real. God also has angels in his creation. And those angels work for his plan, his will. And they will also be working in your personal, private life. I've experienced it myself. I am talking from knowledge, not only from faith. In fact, there is not a day in my life that I do not have one or more angels making their presence known to me in my life. So when you are sensitive to those things, then you recognize it. You cannot see what you do not have a mind to see. If you do not have a mind to see it, it will be right in your presence, touching your eyeballs, and you won't even know it. So we give our presentation for the first day of this Ramadan session on yesterday, Juma Day, which is the most blessed day in the year. Shouldn't you want to know why the Prophet Muhammad said of Juma, Friday, it is the best, it is the most blessed day of the year? Well, he told us why, too. He said Adam was created on that day. And he said no person died and is resurrected except on that day. So the day Adam was created on, and in the calendar of Muslims, it was on the sixth day. For some reason, I've always been a little superstitious, a little spooked up about Thursday. I don't know why. Prophet Muhammad was born on a Monday. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. I was kind of superstitious about Thursday since I was a child. I will share this with you. If I really was attracted to a young girl, and I'm talking about when I was younger than 14 years old, I think when I was 10 or 11 years of age, if I was really attracted to her, and I had a chance to see her on Thursday, I knew everything was going to be all right. And it kind of stayed with me until now. So if something happens on a Thursday to me, I just feel everything is going to be all right. And I know I have been thirsting all my life, thirsting streams that been my life, thirsting and trying to find the right drink. God takes over when you use his name. I said this in the Nation of Islam when I was a young minister. If you really take God as your interest, really strongly, and you start living and doing things and telling people things in the name of God, your rule is finished. So you are not in charge of your affairs anymore. You think you are, but God is overseeing it. And if you are wrong, he is going to give you the results of your bad deed, of your bad intention. And if you are right, he is going to reward you tremendously. Doesn't that sound reasonable? Nobody wants somebody going out doing things in their name without being accountable to them. You do not want anybody doing something in your name and are not accountable to you. So if they don't have any conscience to recognize the obligation they have to you, so when they take up that position, then you start planning to do something about it, right? So God too, God will do the same. Getting back now to the concentration of our Ramadan session yesterday, was on the original nature, on the original man, Adam. For this second part of the session, our concentration, the topic will be on the sanctuary as the main idea. Kaaba. The sanctuary is the whole area called Haram. And the sanctuary, for Muslims who can tell me what it is, the Kaaba. That is the sanctuary. Look up the word sanctuary. Then understand the meaning of that precinct, and you will see sanctuary falls under the term or that definition. The sanctuary now is that whole area that is called the harem. It is not the area where you have to change your clothes. If you are on an airplane or traveling, you have to stop and put on ihram. You have to be ready, clean, and you have to put on your ihram. If you are not already in ihram, God says, let there be no confronting each other with bad spirits, whether it is anger or something else, no fighting each other, no arguing with each other in that area. So you are supposed to restrain yourself and not be guilty of any of that kind of behavior. And there should be no killing of anything in that area. You cannot even hurt. You cannot even hunt during the time of Hajj. You cannot hunt an animal not in that area. So this is why you sleep and scorpions are in the desert of Saudi Arabia. But you have to sleep at night and trust Allah that no scorpion will bite you when you are sleeping outside on the ground and exposed, right? So the feet are exposed, the hands, face, your whole body is exposed, really. And there is no problem for a scorpion or whatever to get into that ihram. And I have never heard anybody say a news has come to us while we were completing the rites of the Hajj, that anyone was bitten by a scorpion, or somebody was harmed by some animal or insect or something. I have never heard it. It might have happened, but I have never heard it. And I know my devotion was so complete to fulfill the rites of Hajj and pleasing my Lord that I had no thought of anything harming me. And you know that in the Bible, that the believers who really believe in God and devote themselves to service for God, that they would be able to lie down with the animals, even scorpions, and not be harmed. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out and test it. You don't test what God says. Don't test God's word. God is the tester. Let him have that business all by himself. Don't you go testing his word, or we will find you in the morgue. The sanctuary, I remember reading the Bible once, and in this passage it said that the people were told by their religious leaders to make their homes their sanctuaries. And the meaning that I gathered or that I got from the passage, I can't recall all the language right now, but the meaning I got from the language gave me a picture that the world for them had been so troublesome, so difficult to live their life, the life of their choice, their religious life, and they had to practice their life of religion in secrecy. And the high priest or the leader could not serve them anymore because it was too dangerous. So they were told by their leaders to make their homes their sanctuary. So the mosque is a sanctuary. Do you know the mosque is a sanctuary? Yes. And this is why the area, the most precious part of the harem, is the Masjid Haram. It is called Masjid. It is a masjid. So in any masjid, you should not have to come there, in there, with a spirit to attack your brother and sister, not with spirit, not with words, and certainly not with your hand. You should come in there with a spirit just like you do the Hajj, a spirit to be in harmony with the spirit of the Muslims that Allah wants for us as Muslims and brothers and sisters of one another. And do not allow your personal feelings or experiences that you had or encounter that you had with each other cause you to lose that spirit of peace and harmony with your brothers and sisters when you come to the masjid. And I have seen some of us, we don't know, coming in there for trouble, walking and wanting to hurt somebody. The sanctuary, it is a big sin to violate the sanctuary of the sanctuary. It is a major sin. In fact, in Saudi Arabia, they will actually cut your head off. They will kill you for starting trouble in the sanctuary. And they have permission to do it right there in the sanctuary. This is the only time they can do it. So when somebody is an aggressor and have violated the sanctuary of and have violated the sanctity of the sanctuary with weapons or something, then you are justified to kill them right there in the sanctuary. Don't forget that we are continuing what we gave yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the original life. Today we are talking about the precinct, the place, the environment. Eden is believed to be Aden. In Arab tradition, culture, legend, an ancestor by the name of Aden, they in Saudi Arabia, especially those scholars and knowledgeable ones of their history, and the history of Al-Islam says that Aden was an ancestor, and the word Eden is Aden. And the word that we know as a Garden of Eden, E-D-E-N, Eden, is Aden. I tend to give some respect to that. What they say, I know one thing. If you read the Bible gives you a picture of land and connects it with the nation. And it gives you a picture of the beginning of the garden of paradise on earth. And then in the history of the Arabs was an ancestor of theirs. And like I say, those who have researched, many of them believe the word Eden in English is the Bible is Aden, their ancestor. So the black stone, the original man in his original nature. And I will tell you something else that I know. Scholars in Islam, especially Pakistanis, I have had some discussions or exchanged words with them. And they say that the Kaaba is where Abraham and his son built the house directed by God. That is what we should remember, too. Abraham and his son built the house, but Abraham did not know how or where to start. And he called on God to show him where he should place the house. So it was with God's guidance, too, not just Abraham and his son building it. No, it was God's guidance to Abraham and his son working with him that brought the house to be built and complete there. And even the place, the site for the house, Abraham asked God to show him where he should place it. And we know how the story goes. That a falling star hit the earth. We say falling star, but actually it means a fragment from the heavens, like a small meteorite. hit the earth. And when it hit the earth, it took that as a, he took that as God answering him, that this is where you should build the house. And the story goes like this. The object, when it cooled off, it was a black stone. So the Hajiro and word, the stone that's black, the description is reversed, like in Spanish. In Spanish, you do not say beautiful baby. You say baby beautiful. And it is like that for most of those languages in the, and finally, such as the Italian language. For the Arabs, it is the same. And for some other languages, it is the same. The description comes after, not before. So the term Hijra Anuart means stone black. But we say in English, black stone. It sounds funny. If you say stone black, that means you can't speak English. We take it that you are a foreigner and you just got here and you cannot speak English. So the stone that the builders rejected became the corner. So the stone marked the spot. How are we to connect this? You think that it's just a stone falling? That's primitive stuff to believe that. No. The stone in Scripture, and it was in Scripture before, yes. The stone that the builders rejected became the corner. That is not in the Quran. That is in the language of the people of the book, long before the Quran. The stone that the builders rejected became the corner. Isn't that something, brothers? We used to think it was us, right? More than the builders rejected us, the people that didn't even have any job rejected us. So the black stone is a symbol of original man in his original nature. No, the view here that we should be having before our eyes is the great works of the nation on this planet Earth. They are the builders, those who establish nations, and establish cities, industry, and all of the things that make a great people, a government, or a society. They are the ones who rejected what the black stone is a sign of. And yesterday, we made it clear. What we were talking about, the black stone, is a sign. It is a symbol of the original man in his original nature. His original nature is not to show off his light. They went to heaven showing off their light, and God had to show them that they did not know everything. He said, if you know, tell me the names. Tell me your own name. Isn't that what he said in the Quran? He said, if you know, tell me your own name. And they admitted that they had no knowledge except what they got from God. Then God addresses the man that he was making or forming in the earth. He said, Adam, tell them their name. And when Adam told them their name, they all submitted except Iblis, the proud ego, proud and defiant ego. Abba was takabira. He resisted, refused to do what God asked him to do, and was puffed up in pride. Isn't that the nature of some of you or some of us? So we want it to be relevant. Then don't look where you cannot see and do not know what is happening. Look at yourself and each other, where it's happening all the time. There was some arrogant spirits all the time defying the word of God down here. So when a picture is given of the beginning, It is to show you what is happening to you now. He said, "Abbas was takabir," and become one of the disbelievers, one of the rejecters of faith. That was Iblis. So Iblis is really the first to reject faith. Now, this is before man was established in the earth, right? So he resisted and refused to obey God and was puffed up in pride. He became begotten and become one of the rejecters of faith. So Satan is beginning of rejecting faith in God. So this is before the whispers to the man in the garden. So he was a disbeliever, and he wanted to make the man a disbeliever, our first father Adam. He wanted to make him a disbeliever. Now stop thinking in the past. When a picture is given to you of the beginning, it is to show you what is happening to you now. In Judaism, there is no Jesus or, pardon me, in Judaism, there is no Satan or Jesus Christ. Iblis is the Satan because after he did that, then he brought upon himself the curse. And he was given the name Shaitan or Satan in the Bible. Then he was given the name adversary, the one going against the plan of God. But understand, only in Christianity and Islam is he the adversary of God. In Judaism, he is not existing at all. No. In Judaism, there is no devil. There is no concept of Satan or Satan or Shaitan in Judaism. But hold on. I want to let you know that I have some dear brothers in faith who are Jews. Dear brothers and sisters in faith that are Jews. I just want to check that before we continue. Also in Judaism, there is no Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? There is not Jesus Christ in Judaism and no Satan. I'm not going to leave it like that. A small number of them who are high up in knowledge and science, they will not acknowledge any Jesus Christ because they believe that they are the only begotten sons of God. And not only that, they will not acknowledge Satan because they believe that they have the right to punish and send to hell anybody who defies their order. So they do not look outside of Satan. Satan is the boss in hell, isn't he? So that is what I thought that the Christian says. Well, we had better get away from that terrible territory right away. So we had better have to leave that scene quickly and get back to where we were. Do you know what the Bible says that Jesus said? Jesus speaking to Jews who were giving him trouble. "I behold your father fell from heaven like lightning. He abhorred not in truth. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning." When he speaks a lie, it is of his own lie. "And nobody gave it to him. And the work of your father you will do." Now I just gave the Bible that. They put that in mouth of prophet Jesus, "Upon him be peace," the Christ. For Christianity to survive, there has to be real major changes. I just gave it to you, and it is still in the Bible like that. Don't you know that it is a big problem for the peace and harmony of religions on this planet Earth with them making such accusations? I say them. Allah did not put that in their Bible. With them making such accusations like that against a whole people, it makes it very hard for us to come to a table of dialogue and work for peace, harmony, and cooperation amongst us, amongst the religions. Let me tell you something. One priest, this has been maybe a year ago, he recently got in the news. And if he got in the news, that tells us a lot. He was in the news for saying that if Christianity is to survive, there has to be some real major changes made. That is what the Christian priest said, and I agree. Never are all of any people bad. There are bad ones amongst them. That's life. There are always bad ones amongst every people. So they are the bad ones amongst them. And it is happening that the same of those bad people manage to get an insight into matters that give them knowledge that they can use over the heads of the people to control them and become their masters. If God doesn't save the people and those who are very notorious and pointed to in scripture, like with Jesus' words, as being the Satan themselves, they were able to do that. But it did not just start with the Bible. Idol worshippers, pagans, were not uneducated. In the religion of the Greeks, before they converted to Christianity or other religions, they were what we would call pagans or idol worshippers. So we should get away from that idea. The thinking that just because people worship idols or had idols, that mean they were barbaric or savage, ignorant, uneducated, not scientific. No, we have to get away from that. That's not true. People have had science and education, all of that, in the medieval ages, in ancient times, going way back, further than we can record. Their language was different, and how they presented it was different. But they had science. This material universe yields up knowledge and science to whoever engages it. And that has existed since man has been on this planet Earth, with his intelligence and his curiosity. So revelation gave man his purpose and God's creation. No, they had great civilization. They had great science. They had cultural beauty and everything. Ancient nations. But their language was different. And they had not been enlightened as to the purpose for their creation, human creation, on this planet Earth or in this universe. That is what they were missing. They only came by revelation from God. Then man was able to understand his purpose and place in God's creation and how he is to perform as a creation of God or servant of God. That came later, but it did not mean that they did not have advanced culture and advanced civilization. They did. And they even had advanced knowledge of human excellence. So human society had to find and understand the nature and its purity that God made. So this is why in the Quran, Allah recognizes that. That's why in the Quran, Allah Most High, He says, this religion is the religion of origin, the origin upon which God patterned the faith, the religion. Dina, Dini, Anisa, Fatirin, Lehil, Lati, Fatirin, Nasiha, Aleha, Dini, Hanisa, Fatirin, Lahil, Leiti, Fatirin, Nasiha, Nasi Aleha, the original upon which human society was formed, the or originated. So human society was originated upon an original pattern. That original pattern is a pattern made by God. So the origin, so society could not even advance because it did not have revelation from God. But in order for society to advance, it had to be able to find or see and understand the nature in its purity that God made. Or if they did not believe in the Creator that they discovered, then they could pattern their society upon that original pattern, so that the original pattern lives and finds expression in their culture and in their life and knowledge. So that is what Allah is telling us, not me. He is telling us with his words in the Quran. So Allah is saying, nations before my revelation formed, developed, and made progress, but they did not do it without discovering and recognizing the original design and creation for the human life to be established and prosper. So it says that the religion of Quran is that religion, deen of fitrality, the religion of original which fatirin nasiha alayha, the human society, was patterned upon. That means all societies, all nations. In some degree, even the primitive society is responding to the original pattern that God made. So there is no other way for them to respond except to respond to that original pattern. Man cannot create himself or create himself over and reject the original creation. He has to work with what he has, his original creation. And the more he respects the beauty and the excellence of that original creation, the more he will prosper. The sanctuary, there is a sign there of an original life. So we are on the concept sanctuary. And we first brought our attention to the sanctuary for the Hajis. And there is a sign there of the original life gives us when he made the universe or the creation. And we have the house there. The house is called Kaaba. And our Qibla is determined by the location of the Kaaba. So the house itself has a precious stone called the Black Stone. And the Black Stone was put into a corner with the hand of the Prophet himself. Some chiefs of Mecca decided that they were going to restore the house. The house was in bad repair. And Arab history says there was a great flood in that area. Well, I don't know where it came from, but they say there was a great flood in that area, and it damaged the Kaaba. So I know where the flood is here, but I don't know about there. I know we were flooded out. Aquarius, symbolic of a moral flood. It started with the time way back in the 1950s or the 1960s when the song got to be real popular called The Age of Aquarius. It went, this is the age of Aquarius. Great flooding was beginning. And it continued and it built up and drowned out as many as it could in the 1960s. And it continued in the 1970s and the 1980s. And by the 1990s, there was no more water, just fire. It went from one extreme to another and started burning us up with sexual lust and insane passion. The orchestrator is the Satan himself. This is not a mystery. In the Quran, it says, and Nuruhaq, and Nuruhaq, the hellfire is real. It is plain language. It is no superstition. It is not mystery. It is reality. So the house is called Al-Bayt, and it is also called Kaaba. and because of the location of the house, that place where it is in Mecca, that location is Qibla. Qibla means orientation for direction. Qibla means you look to. You turn there to the place of direction. So if it is on a map and you look at the United States, and wherever is between the United States and Arabia, and then you look at the border from where we entered Arabia to that location, then that location is the direction. Surat al-Mustaqim is a concept for the thinker, philosopher, and scientist. So you know sight, vision, is broad because the lens captures a broad space, but light travels in a straight line. And since light travels in a straight line, vision also travels in a straight line. So when I look at an object, whether it is your face or the camera, I don't have to make my sight go straight. Automatically it goes straight. It goes straight to the mark. No curve. Surat al-Mustaqim. That brings me to say Surat al-Mustaqim is not just moral, spiritual, being upright as a decent person. Surat al-Mustaqim is a concept also for the thinker, for the philosopher, for the scientist. If you're going to use God's light and you in your eyes and your sight, your vision, then respect what God has created. My light travels in a straight line. Why do you make it crooked? I have created your vision, and it goes in a straight line. Now, why do you make it crooked? And they always talking about signs. There are signs everywhere. The people were told about the signs of God in creation and how the ignorant masses or the large numbers of people have no awareness of it at all. So they go along absent-minded, heedless, paying no attention to the signs of God. But that few who have patterned their societies, their production, and their creation, or whatever upon the original science that they find in the creation of God, they can be challenged upon the basis of their own establishments, their own logic, their own thinking, their own works. Or you say, why have you followed logic to this point and then stop using it when God speaks to you? Now your logic is working, showing consistency, not confusion, not contradiction. But as soon as God comes into the picture, now your logic goes crazy. Your logic is gone. Now you are saying that light travels crooked. No, it's not crooked. It's straight. So they give us a crooked knowledge to take us away from our God, the true God, the creator of everything. So Kaaba means vital connections. So the house itself, the Beit al-Bayt, is called Kaaba. It is important to understand when you say house, that is not enough. When you say home, that is not enough. But when you say Kaaba now, that is where the knowledge is for identifying that house and knowing what that house means in our lives. It is given in the term Kaaba. Kaaba means vital connections that are necessary and important. Without these connections, you do not have the house. Vital, most important, connection. So that's what Kaaba means. So the connection for our home life begins with Adam having a mate and begins with Brother Sharif having a wife, Sister Salima. Don't look for them. I'm forming them as I go. And like the movies, when they show you the acknowledgement, they say any connection with the person is just a coincidence. So isn't that the history of the Genesis? And isn't that the history of the beginning of mankind in Islam too? That God made a male and then he made of that male a female? So if he made of the male a female, he made them both of the same essence. He made a male first, and then he made a female. Now, don't think anymore of a flesh man and a flesh woman. That's okay in kindergarten for Muslims. That's okay to have that idea. But you who are students, you are now listening to a student, and we want to have knowledge, not just stories. So it starts with a mate, a husband and a wife, a male and a female coming together. So that is the only way we can extend and populate the earth with people. So we cannot extend our life or propagate the earth with people unless we mate with one another. Males, females have to mate. So I said, do not think of flesh right now. Think of community. From the beginning of this earth, we are talking about community. Science, the secular world, will give us history and theories of how man formed on the earth and progressed. Religion is not giving us a picture of flesh population. It is giving us a picture of community development and how the establishment of community life was designed into our very creation by God, and that it is the natural heritage, inheritance of every one of us to have to support community life. So man, animals have knowledge in their genes. The bird comes here and knows when it is time to have baby birds, knows to start getting the straw and whatever to make a home for the baby. And it knows how to make its home. No man taught the bird to make its home round and make it of this particular straw or soft, dry stuff. The bird knows that by virtue of its own creation. Its own life knows that. Its life as it comes into existence knows that. So it will know what to do when times come, and it does it. It is the same for humans. You don't have to teach a baby to crawl. It is going to crawl. We give them help. But you don't have to teach it to walk. It is going to walk because it see you walking. You are not an English teacher, but the baby learns to speak your language just by listening to you. So these are the great developments. These are nothing to push aside like it's nothing. No. That's the beginning of life, and it is clocked into our very composition as flesh, as people, and it expresses itself automatically inside when the time comes. So when the situation presents itself, the light responds to the situation, and it does what God has designed for it to do. So family life evolves naturally, but is now threatened. And don't you know, if we just depend on nothing but the original life right now, if African American people depended on nothing but the original life, we would be better off than we are right now. Because at least we would learn to work, pardon me, to walk. We would come here ready to crawl, to walk, and we would come here ready to know how to love one another and be family. God clocked all of that into our creation, into our nature, into our the very flesh. He put that. But the world deceives us, and then we lose the original life. We lose the interest to be nice and loving to each other, to have a spirit to be family, not causing problems for each other, but working together in unity as a unit. And your education, your schooling, the academic world tells you that family is the first unit of society. And that is what we have lost, family. Not just African Americans now, or blacks. This big problem has taken over all people and all religions. Yes, all religious people are suffering from the corruption of the family. So man comes here without education, without science and industry. Man comes here knowing how to establish his life just like the bird knows how to establish theirs, just like the bees know how to establish theirs, just like the other creatures know how to establish theirs that are not human. Man comes here with the ability to establish his own social pattern, and it begins with family for community life. Family is a small community. This is what family is, a small community. So if you stay in touch with your relatives, then family becomes a big community. Tribes become so big, they are almost like a nation, just one tribe. In fact, when you read the history of the people of the book, their tribes became nations. So scripture is not addressing flesh creation, but how community life is born. So I have to say again, because I think many of you missed the most important thing I am saying. From the beginning, the scripture is not addressing flesh creation. It is addressing our community life, how community life is born. So when it says male and female, where is the male? The male is the brain. Why is he the brain? Because the male has to go out and hunt. The male has to go out and risk his life in the wild environment for the beginning of family life. He has to risk his life out there. He has to discover things that he needs at home for his wife. And he relates to her to know what he should be looking for out there in the field or in the wilderness. She lets him know, honey, we're going to need something to sit on. This ground is cold and hard. Baby, we need something to sleep on. And we don't know when the wind and the rain is going to come on us. We need a wall built up. And we need a cover for our head. So the wife is the one who gives the requisition. So she is the one who gives the requisition. She makes the request and gives the bill. Go out and get it, baby. And if he is a natural man in the original pattern made by our Creator, he goes out there and gets it. He doesn't tell her, I don't have a job. That original woman will say to him, and you have no wife. Don't you know my original nature calls for a man? What is this speaking? To me, you are worse off than a baby. We have to make it relevant, don't we? Don't leave it up in the sky. Bring it down here where the real deal is. The new wife, she goes out, and he brings her these things, and pretty soon the family gets big. You have somebody next door, down the road, belonging to the family, needing the same things. And this development grows after a while. They call it a town. They call it a community. So this is our community, our town. So when a town is established, when the community life is established, where those primitive people have a public that they are responsible for, that public, whether we call it town, city, or village, or whatever, that's wife. That's the new wife. That is the most important wife. and the man who puts their head together. And I'm sure some women get into the work too. Whoever they're responsible for building the community life is the husband. That's scripture. Husbandman in the Bible, the husbandman. And I think they have a profession called husbandry, taking care of animals and plants. And animals can't survive or exist without some plants. You better have some plants if you have animals, unless they are carnivores and eat no plants. But then you still have to have plants. There is no way to not have plants. So the language is there to support what I'm bringing home to you. That is what I'm showing you. So consciously, you see me go to the language of the world, right? So that's to show you that, to prove that this is the right picture that I'm presenting to you. I go and find evidence of this being in the history of man's life and growth in this planet Earth. It's still in his language. So if I was speaking to the leaders in the Vatican, I could have said everything I said to you in about 10 minutes. Don't think we are the only ones who know things. Among all people, there are those who know something about what I'm bringing to you right now. Maybe not in the context or not in the exact language that I'm giving it to you, but they have been giving the concept, the idea. They have the concept. But it is us who have to be given this for the first time, and education in this knowledge, because we are not going to share it. Pardon me. They are not going to share it. They think it is supposed to be kept secret, and they are wrong. So Muslim leadership fails because they are deceived into using the strategy of the Christian and the Jews. So Muhammad came and God sent him into the world to show them that they were wrong in the time their followers of Muhammad, with the knowledge, the scientists, they got deceived. Why is it our religious leaders of Islam cannot perform as the original followers of Muhammad performed under his leadership? Why can't they do that anymore? It is because they have been deceived. And they have been deceived by their minds to take up the strategy of the Christian and the Jews, compete with them, rejecting them, condemning them, but being influenced without them even knowing it, to use their strategies. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host, Elihu Bey, for this evening. And I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. And we will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it pleases God. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and once again, thank you for listening.